Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to kimandlavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you on a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. All your plumbing needs, check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Start off the show today talking more about Brett Favre, because what else would we possibly talk about at this point, Leroy? Brett, and more Brett Favre. Boy, oh boy, remember the days when Brett Favre would give us stuff all the time, all season long? Every other day, Brett would say something about something, and away we'd go with Sports Talk Radio. Well, it hasn't changed so much now. So we played some of the stuff that he said on a TMZ yesterday about Aaron Rodgers and so forth. But then he kind of...
Hold up, this TMZ... Leroy, did you talk to him on TMZ? Is this the same thing?
Go ahead, dude.
How many times was he on TMZ?
Once. But I didn't know Leroy was on TMZ.
Yeah, Leroy was on TMZ.
TMZ came to Oak Creek?
We don't allow TMZ here in Wisconsin. They can just call us, Steve.
Oh, so you were like on a Zoom phone or something?
Yeah.
They was on there together.
I thought you were messing around yesterday. I didn't think you
were serious. No, you didn't see it?
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
I'm shocked, Steve. You'd be all over stuff like that, because I guess because Gary reported it, you didn't take it serious. Well, you just admitted
it was all over the internet.
You admitted that. You said, I thought you were just joking.
You were out there with Favre. I thought he was passing around. Yeah.
It was on there. Yeah, on TMZ.
Yeah, good.
You see it, Steve?
How many times I got to say no, man?
Well, the reason why he asked you, it will put in context where you're going now.
Okay. Right. So, Favre, you may try or not to want to believe what he says about Aaron Rodgers. That's up to you. But he completely came off the rails when talking about how he sees Jordan Love fitting in.
If I were in Jordan Love's position, I would want to play. I would want to play right away. The reality is you're not going to play unless Aaron gets hurt. God forbid he gets hurt. I think there's ways that incorporate, like much like Taysom Hill with the Saints, use him as a halfback pass, but occasionally let him run it just to show that you'll do that, something like that. But I don't know if you take Aaron out on goal line and put Jordan in and run an option, and then you get crushed and. Everyone says, why don't you just use Aaron like you always do and let him use his legs, whatever, by time and make him play it, and we win the game. I mean, so you got to be careful. It could cost you your job.
Okay. That's one of the dumbest things I've heard of him say in quite a while.
No, it ain't. Everybody, we had a topic about this a month ago when these guys were reporting this stuff, and we covered it.
You remember Roy? That? He is a football – well, not anymore.
He was a football player.
He is not a fan at home who watches five or six Packer games a year.
Fan.
He is a football player – a Hall of Fame football player in Brett Favre, who should know what and what not to do with a player, I would think at this point. Now, maybe he's getting a little bit older. Maybe he's forgotten stuff. But Jordan Love in the Taysom Hill role, you've got to be kidding me. We brought this up yesterday in the pre-show meeting when we were meeting, and we all agreed, well, maybe a little blur, but we all agree that's stupid. Let's just move on. And then we come back to the meeting today. We didn't do it yesterday. We come back to the meeting today, and Gary tells me that he's got all kinds of stuff on Facebook about this from last night, Gary.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead, Leroy.
You don't remember us talking about this topic when somebody that the media wrote, a journalist wrote an article about using Jordan Love, like Taysom Hill,
and we all said it was.
Jay Glazer said somebody told him this kind of stuff.
We all said it was stupid at that point.
No, you're missing the point. I'm just saying this is not out of left field. People have been saying this stuff. It ain't just Brett Favre.
It's a different. You and I can disagree on this, and I'm okay
how
with
is it
that.
Different. You let the media guy get away with it, but you won't let Favre say it.
You're damn right. One never played in the National Football League. The other one's a Hall of Fame quarterback. The Hall of Fame quarterback knows what goes into playing that position.
The Hall of Fame quarterback knows
what it goes into doing all this other stuff.
So the media people don't know.
Come on. People tell me that every day, Leroy. Yeah, I'm used to it.
No, that's not what
every
day people telling you. I'm asking you, Leroy. These media people, these guests we have come on, they don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, it depends who you're talking about. If you're talking about, I don't think we need no more guests. If you're talking about Michael Lombardi, he was a GM in the league. He was in the league. That's different than say a writer or somebody that's not played. But he covers the team
and has never played.
And has been around the game a long time, seen a lot of football, whatever else. Okay, fine. Bob McGinn, educated opinions, who's covered the football for 100 years. Absolutely. Totally get down with that. When a Hall of Fame quarterback suggests that this dude go and play like Taysom Hill, to me, is absolutely insane.
Why didn't you say that about the writer when he wrote it?
Leroy, who on this show agreed with that notion?
I don't remember you having this kind of reaction, Steve.
We blew it off. It kept going.
Oh, no. Well, why you ain't blow this up and keep it going?
Good. I just went over this. I'm not doing it again.
Brett Favre, right?
Your best friends. Fine.
True. That's what it's because right. Brett Favre can't get a pass. I said that yesterday. He can say the same thing with somebody, Steve, you like in the media, but the guy in the media makes sense, but Brett Favre doesn't. Why y'all always bashing Brett Favre? I don't get it. This don't make no sense. If you disagree with him, fine. Give me your point. But to say all this Hall of Fame stuff, Steve, you ought to be ashamed. That is just so much bias. And you get on me about bias, but at least I admit it. Okay? I put myself in the spin cycle. You just put yourself. These guys write more articles than Brett Favre. And we covered it. We had a segment about it.
They should just stop interviewing the man. Brett would go in a cold sweat if they stopped talking to him.
He's got his own radio show. If they don't write these articles,
he's in the media now.
Life.
He's got his own radio show, Leroy. He wants to be in the spotlight. If you want to get in the spotlight, be ready to be criticized. That's how this goes.
Exactly. Why didn't we criticize the writer that wrote it, Steve? Why didn't we criticize him?
What writer wrote it, Leroy?
I don't know who he was.
Oh, you don't know.
We can look it up. But I know Jay Glazer talked about it. He said somebody down.
We didn't have Jay Glazer on this show.
No, I'm finna tell you. Somebody down there in New Orleans loved the fact that they're using Taysom Hill because he talked about it, okay? And a guy wrote an article. Plucker look it up. We talked about it. A guy wrote a story about it. I don't remember you having this kind of outrage. If you had the outrage then, you're consistent. But you talked about it. Maybe it's a good or bad idea.
No, I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth and make crap up.
Well, you can stop making crap up.
That's not what I said.
Whatever you said, did you have this kind of outrage you're having with Brett Favre?
No, I'm pretty sure we blew it off and didn't even make it a topic. We said it in passing and kept moving.
If it's a topic, we're talking about it. It ain't no passing. Just say you don't like Brett Favre so we can move on, man. I'll explain
to you later in the show when we just pass through a topic and it's not a two-segment take calls and everything else.
I don't care about that.
But that's how that topic was treated. That's
no,
my
no,
point.
That's how you treated it.
That's how the show treated it.
No,
you thought it was a stupid idea.
Talk for yourself.
You thought it was a stupid idea. Gary thought it was a stupid idea.
No,
and I did,
listen,
and we moved on.
Listen. That's not true. Did we take any calls?
No.
Or did we carry it to the next
no.
segment?
No. We took
so
no
it was
calls.
One, you said it was one segment? But
yes.
Yes.
Gary, what do you remember?
No. Whoa,
yes.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
One segment.
Tell me yeah. you
as
don't
usual,
speak
Leroy making
well,
stuff
we blew
up.
It off. What Leroy said, we blew it off. Yes.
We all talked about
we
it.
We blew it off.
Leroy, but Leroy
we talked
saying,
about it.
But Leroy's saying, though, because we blew it off, but why do we... Why don't we blow it off for Brett Favre?
Because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, because Brett Favre has more.
Well, we disagree. Yes. Let's move on, man. Right. But go on bashing then. Go on have your fun.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so what you man. Think? Is it a good idea or what? Throw it to Gary. We'll do whatever you want.
I was trying Gary, to do that the last time. Go ahead, Gary, with your Facebook. That's what started this whole thing.
Oh, that's a question. Yeah, you should all. Robert on my Facebook page, Leroy says, yes, you should be always be innovative. Matter of fact, I put this out on my Facebook God. Page. This morning at about 8 or 9 o'clock, and the question is very similar to what we're talking about here right now. Is that, do you agree with Brett Favre about Jordan Love? Should he be most certainly a gimmick? And a lot of people on Facebook page says yes, he should be. He should be that way. They should be innovative and try to create some things for him. And one guy, Pete, says, but if it's a way to get some live experience for him, yes, I'm all in. I'm all in. But For me, I say no. I say no. I would like for them to not treat him as Cordell Stewart before all this Taysom Hill stuff came, because that's how Cordell Stewart really got started. I think wasn't he Slash or
sure was
yeah that was
yeah.
Call him.
Yeah, Slash. Well, who was the quarterback then with Pittsburgh? I forget who it was.
Neil O'Donnell.
That's who it was. Yeah, so they create these packages for him. No, I would like for Love to be like a Brett Favre or to be like a Aaron Rodgers and treat it as such. So, no, I disagree with Brett Favre on this end. This guy needs to learn the game and needs to learn how to be a quarterback. If he just was a gadget guy, then we should have drafted him like in the sixth round or something.
Here's the
so
difference.
I disagree with
Taysom
Brett Favre.
Taysom Hill is not a quarterback.
Correct.
He's not a quarterback. That's why they use him as gadgets and all this kind of stuff. Jordan Love's a quarterback. Pocket. He ain't here for gadgets. They ain't running a ride to side here in the Packers. They run it every now and then. And I'm going to say this like I said last time we broke this up. In passing or in subject, whatever you want to call it. If somebody is using him other than quarterback, they don't think he can play quarterback. Now, that's me on the record. I said that a long time ago when we talked about it. I'm going to say it now. You don't put in a quarterback, your backup, because if he get hurt, who's the backup? You going to keep Tim Boyle for whatever reason? So, no, I would disagree with Brett Favre about that. Just like I disagree with the young man who wrote the article. It don't make sense. You don't use quarterbacks for other things unless they cannot play quarterback. And all these Taysom Hill fans say he should have stayed. He can't play quarterback. But is he a good gadget guy that works? Great. If he was a great quarterback, then you wouldn't even know about Teddy Bridgewater. He would be the backup. But they said, no, we're not really trying to put this guy out there. But he can run the ball. He can do the Tim Tebow type stuff. Fine. But Jordan Love is a quarterback. So that's what I agree with.
All right, so the question on the table is, Brett Favre says Love could play a Taysom Hill role. Do you agree? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan will get to your calls and tweets coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Brett Favre was on TMZ over the weekend and Leroy Butler. And Brett Favre said this about the role Jordan Love could play this year.
If I were in Jordan Love's position, I would want to play. I would want to play right away. The reality is you're not going to play unless Aaron gets hurt. God forbid he gets hurt. I think there's ways to incorporate, like much like Taysom Hill with the Saints. use him as a, you know, a halfback pass, but occasionally let him run it just to show that you'll do that, something like that. But I don't know if you take him out, take Aaron out on goal line and put Jordan in and run an option, and then you get crushed. And everyone says, why didn't you just use Aaron like you always do and let him use his legs, whatever, by time and make a play, and we win the game. I mean, so you got to be careful. It could cost you your job.
All right, so there's Brett Favre on TMZ, and we're asking you this question. Brett Favre says, Love could play a Taysom Hill role. Do you agree? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. John in Oak Creek, you're first up on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Hey, happy 4th of July to you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I agree with Favre in this one. Why not use him in the Taysom Hill role? I think if you got a talented player there and he's going to learn from Aaron Rodgers, why not utilize him like the Saints utilized Taysom Hill and, you know, put his talent out there and use him in certain situations? I think that would be great. I was all in favor of the Packers keeping Taysom Hill because of his talent and his ability. But as long as we got this guy, you know, in the draft, let's go utilize his skills in the meanwhile while he's learning behind Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, let's go ahead and put him in the similar role like they used Taysom Hill in New Orleans.
So. John, thanks for the phone call. Taysom Hill is stacked because Jordan Hill is going to get broke up. He can't do that. And we talked about this May 25th. And the reason why we talked about it was because somebody, I think, in the New York Post asked Nathaniel Hackett about it. And we played clips of him talking. And towards the end, he said, anything can happen. And we took and ran with it. And asked, he's not a running back. He's not a wide receiver. He's not a gimmick. He's a quarterback. He's going to play 2 or 3 years down the line. We got running backs. We got one of the best ones in the league, Aaron Jones. I ain't taking out Aaron Jones. Well, neither Aaron. Neither Aaron is coming out the game. No, he's a quarterback. Just like if you wouldn't put Tim Boyle back there at running back. No, he's a quarterback. Let him play quarterback. And if the Green Bay Packers trot Jordan Love out there on the field and take Aaron out to play other than quarterback, well, it would be crazy to even do it. They will get so many side eyes, they'll probably admit, finally, hey, man, that was a bad idea. That's not going to help us win. What's going to help us win is number 12. Let they ain't want a damn thing down in New Orleans Saints running this Taysom Hill stuff. Nothing. Okay? These are stuff just like the Wildcat. Everybody run the Wildcat, cuz. It just went right on by. You need pro-style stuff going on. Now, the stuff they're doing in Baltimore, I don't know how long it's going to last with Lamar Jackson. I don't know what the young man up there in Kansas City going to do when they just throwing the ball all over the place. I don't know. If everybody going to involve and get back to West Coast-style principles, I have no idea. I just know this gimmick stuff like this does not work.
All right, got some tweets coming in. Shrek tweets at the Fan. Wait, Shrek. I'm still upset that the Packers didn't use Taysom Hill like the Saints are using him.
Oh, my God. How many more games they were going to win? They won 13. So with Taysom Hill, how many are they going to win?
How many more could they have won with Mike McCarthy had he used him that way? Because he wasn't a LaFleur guy. He was a McCarthy guy.
Even better. Mike McCarthy got fired before the season was up. How many more? So if Taysom Hill was here, Mike McCarthy still be here? I don't need to stop this.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
I think some people do agree with that, though.
Oh, chop.
Yeah, Taysom Hill's got a pretty big fan club.
Oh, yeah, man, for what? He does. That can't throw, man. What are y'all talking about, man?
Ryan Horvath tweeted in on the question, and the question is, Favre says Love could play a Taysom Hill role. Do you agree? Ryan Horvath from the Bart Winkler pregame show. He hosts weekday mornings, 5 to 6, says, no, I'd like to see him play the Jim Sorgi role and never leave the bench. says Ryan Horvath. And I would tend to agree. In a perfect world, Rodgers plays all 16 games, never comes out, and he gets to watch all year. Or in even a more perfect world, I guess, if you take it to another level, Rodgers plays all 16 games, and three or four games, the game's over by the fourth quarter, and Love gets to play some time in the fourth quarter of like three or four games this year and gets to make some throws. That would be even better if you could figure out a way to get that done.
But again, I don't want him getting hurt in jump time. Let Tim Boyle pick them minutes up.
Very well, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yep. Then in Connecticut, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was just going to say, I'm in the thing. I say no. I think Jordan Love needs to wait his turn. You know, because it is going to happen about 2 years. He's going to start. But Leroy stole it right out of my head. How many Super Bowls have the Saints won with Taysom Hill, with all the gadget plays with Taysom Hill? Honestly, nothing, you know?
Right.
Nothing at all. So I think Brett Favre should just stop talking and just, you know, just pay attention to his radio show too, instead of making all this headache and everybody, you know, complaining about it too, you know?
All right, thanks for the call. Look,
thanks for your call, boss.
And we don't obviously disagree with what you're saying there as far as, you know, how do you say some Hill. I think my biggest thing on all of this is if Jordan Love or whoever the quarterback is that you're going to do this with is a sixth-round pick, seventh-round pick, there are no future aspirations for him to be the next starting quarterback following a Hall of Famer, then okay, fine. You know, right? He's going to be on the roster. He can give you added value. Otherwise, he's either not going to be on the roster or he'll be on the practice squad, but now he can contribute and help you win games. That's one thing. But when you draft a guy in the first round or the second round, or even the third round at this point, if you draft a guy that high with aspirations of one day being the starting quarterback down the line, you can't put him out there with the risk of getting hurt by playing wide receiver or running back or coming out and playing quarterback at the goal line and getting popped or something. I think that's where the issue lies for me more than anything else. I'm not opposed to having players in the Taysom Hill role in the NFL if they're players that wouldn't be on the roster any other way. That's fine. But in this situation, drafting a quarterback in the first round and then saying I'm going to put him out there at the risk of possibly getting hurt seems absolutely ludicrous to me, Gary.
No, I would agree.
Tyler Irvin, their gadget guy anyway, Gary. I think Tyler
Irvin. Who's that?
Tyler Irvin, that's their gadget guy. They'll put him all over the place. You know the little guy, I think number 32?
Scat back.
Yes. The punt returner guy. Kick returner guy. Yes. That would be your gadget guy. No, you... Right, well, that's what we talk about. This guy needs to learn how to play quarterback. I think you stunt his growth when you're trying to do some other stuff with him. So I think he needs to, I mean, he should be treated like he treated Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Stay in that lane.
Right, and that's why you need to stay. Now, the other thing, too, is that we haven't gotten into a whole bunch is, so now you're Jordan Love. You add the Tim Boyle factor into this whole thing that coming into the season, you would think Tim Boyle is the backup quarterback. Jordan Love is the third-string quarterback. You don't get a lot of reps during the regular season to begin with. So how does Jordan Love get better throughout the season, Leroy?
Well, he has to learn, just like I did when I got there. I was 3 days late. Hold out wasn't my fault. Tom Brock didn't want to act right. That's the GM.
Act right.
Yeah, but I wasn't going in there trying to get Dave Brown's job or Mark Lee. I wanted to learn. Hey, listen, this is my first time living outside with my mom or at Florida State. I wasn't trying to go in there just because I'm a second-round pick. I wanted to play. I need to learn what's going on. First of all, I need to learn how to be a man because it's hard when you – especially, Steve, you ain't going to believe this. They're already out there on the field. I told this to Michael Korn on this podcast. They're already on the field. So I get there, and Bob Noel and – what's his brother's name was? Squeaky. Remember
Squeaky?
Him there?
Squeak.
He said, what do you want to do? I said, hey, man, they told me to go upstairs. Now, I'm from down south, so I talked loud, Steve, in the locker room. Ain't nobody there, though. It's echoing. I went up to Bob Harlan's office or whatever, Tom signed a contract. I'm running down. I said, I'm just sitting there like, where's my locker? What's going on? I'm by myself. What do you want to do? I said, what do you mean? Where the team? Sir, they're at practice. Well, they just told me to go downstairs. Well, I'm sitting there. And Bob comes up. What size you wear shoes? I said, I wear 12, cuz. I'm not your cousin. I said, no, that's just where we talk. Because Bob was an older guy. He didn't understand. But anyway, he gave me my equipment. I'm running down there. And they're practicing. So I'm like, well, what are you doing? So security, hey, come here. This security. I'm like, what's going on? He said, come with me. They told me to wait on you. They take me now. I'll go through the gate. Lenny Infante, I mean, he was pretty much my role model because I didn't know how to do this stuff. He called the whole team up. Come up. I said, uh-oh, what's going on? Here's the new rookie. Think he all this. He held out for more money. He just kind of painted this picture of me being this hotshot from Florida State like Deion was, but I wasn't. And I said to myself, so this is what it's like. All 53 eyes are staring at me. So I said to myself, I need to learn to be on the other side. How do you do these things? Because Jordan Love is not going to know how to go to the meetings. He's going to have to follow somebody. He's not going to know where the water fountains are. He's not going to know where you go do this, the training room. He has to learn all this stuff. And you usually learn it from the backup because you don't bother the starter. So that was Jerry Holmes for me. Remember Jerry Holmes, Gary?
Yes.
Jerry Holmes said, okay, follow that guy right there, Mark Lee. But do it from a distance now. Because they're starters. And I said, oh, okay, this is how. I got to wait my turn. You know what? I think it made me a better player to learn than them throwing me out there. Like my boy Buckley said, he was going to be Jim Thorpe. I didn't want to do that. I didn't have that kind of talent. But I wanted to learn. And it just taught me a lesson that in my locker room, we have 15 guys. But I used to go by the quarterback locker room. I saw maybe 2-3 guys in there. I said, man, that got to be a tough room in there, boy. It has to be tough because Don McCoskey was a guy. I mean, he's on one side of the room, everybody else on the other side. And you just kind of get in where you fit in and you learn to be a great teammate, but you learn kind of what's going on. And for Jordan Love, throughout his conversations, he's going to say, you know what? Because he ain't crazy. I mean, he's been reading this stuff about Taysom Hill and all this kind of stuff. I'm saying deep down inside, he said, I don't want to do that. But when he gets there, he's going to do whatever the coaches tell him. But if Nathaniel Hackett is looking at a game plan that make him Taysom Hill, he's going to get fired because it's not going to work. And the next thing you know, we need another coordinator.
Crazy stuff. You were there in Green Bay, Leroy. There were holdouts along the way, I'm assuming, while you were there. Were they treated the same way as you were treated when they first reported to camp?
Oh, that's a good question. If you held out more than a week, they just, what's a good adjective? They just looked at you differently. The team did, in a joking way, though. If you were a veteran and you were holding out, you get your money. Because we had what we call Plan B. And they protect 6 guys or 7 guys. Everybody else get the giblets. Remember that, Gary? You just get the minimum or a little bit, whatever. So Perry Kemp was like a little, you know, that's my guy. He held out for a minute, and they understood. But I remember 2 rookies the next year held. I don't want to call their names. They held out for a long time. It was hard for them to even fit in with the team. Because I'm like, hey, man, business is business. Don't y'all understand? No. Rook, you got to get into camp. You're in over a week, and now you got to go the following week. They're going to put you into a preseason game. So it takes you the whole preseason for your teammates to just welcome you because they don't really know what's going on. They're like, man, why are you holding out? We need you in. But times have changed now because you got free agency, and you expect guys to hold out. But back then with Plan B, that was so unfair. That's why Reggie White was unprecedented because he sued the league to be a free agent. Now I opened it up. It wasn't many holdouts because teams either had to let you go or pay you. But back then when they had Plan B, you was a draft pick. It wasn't slotted either back then. I don't know if the millennials know that. But no, you can negotiate as much money as you want. So sometimes that took a time. Now I don't know this for sure. But I think Tony Bennett was kind of a holdout. And I don't know if Darryl Thompson was, because they went in the first 2 rounds. They went ahead of me in the first round. We had 2 picks in the first round. And I just remember not seeing those guys with their groups. Like, you know, like all the defensive backs would go out. He's like, well, where's the rookie? All the linemen will go out. Well, where's the rookie? Why ain't y'all hanging with it? Oh, he was a holdout. We're going to let him we're going to let him hold out. We're not going to invite him to anything. I mean, he got to earn his way with us. Some guys can handle that. Some of them can't.
So some guys, did you break anybody? As far as you just broke them and they were just never the same player because they couldn't handle it?
Oh, no. Eventually you come around. Yeah, you
because you're all the teammates
around.
At the end of the day. You just gotta come around.
Yeah, they don't think that though.
Especially if you're a high draft pick, those guys are gonna help you win, and invariably they're gonna help you keep your job.
It was rough on Buck. It was because Buck told everybody, like I say, he was gonna be this great guy. He really wanted to be like Deion Sanders, like, well, everybody gotta adapt to me. I'm the guy. Eventually, that didn't work, so he had to kind of change. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, they got to catch you with turkeys to let them catch all the rookies. I mean, all the rookie jokes, you know, jumping in a snowbank and singing your college song. You got to do like everybody else just because you're a top pick. It don't matter. And that's when you get in the locker room. Everybody put their arm around you, and everybody love everybody in the locker room.
He's Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Fiverr, Wendy's Big
now,
Show.
Now, Gary and them used to hug each other naked. Now, we never did that in the 90s. We would just put a towel on and say deuces. We weren't hugging each other and playing board games like Gary and was in the 80s. We weren't doing that.
That was a different era. Different era. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky, Fiber, Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. I get an update from CBS News. And the NBA apparently has decided that there's going to be something new on NBA courts down in Disney World this year. Some aren't so happy about it. We'll discuss that next here on The Wendy's Big Show.
VIP. Let's kick it.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh.
Talk over the drop. How much money he had to give David Bowie for that, to sample that? Had to be a lot.
You think so?
Had to be. I don't know how that works when you sample music, but I'm sure you cut them in on it and you just share it. Because all I hear is Under Pressure in my head, but that's, again, one of the best one-hit wonders of all time.
Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Hey, speaking of not cutting you in on it, Steve.
Now what?
What was Leroy's boy name?
Which one? When they sampled your guy.
You talking about Robert Brooks?
No, he sampled it too.
Because Leroy sure deserves money off of
that.
If that's what we're going to talk about, we can talk about that.
Yeah, he sampled something too.
Yeah, he did.
No,
yeah,
he talking about you, my boy with the girls with no clothes on, Steve. And
yeah, what was his name?
The guy that said happy. You remember, what is his name? His daddy was very famous. God, what is his name?
He sang what song?
Leroy's boy, One Hit One. Remember Leroy trying to say. Leroy trying to say he's better than Justin Timberlake.
It was T.I.
What's the man name?
Pharrell Williams?
No.
Pharrell Williams?
No, it was a white dude. White dude.
Yeah, but Pharrell produced it, though. Remember, they got sued for $8.7 million for Marvin Gaye.
I don't know. I just put in Google happy song, and that's what came up.
No. It's a white dude. He said he's better than Justin Timberlake.
Oh, that guy. That's Thicke.
They had to pay.
Yeah,
Thicke, Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
They had to pay your guy, Marvin Gaye people, $8.7 million for sampling him. The producer he wrote the music, but they had to at the beginning. You can't just take that from people. You got all they had to do, Steve, is just pay them, right? Gary, just pay, do like Puff Daddy and them. They'll sample and they'll pay the artist a big chunk of money, and you split the screaming, and make money. That's what makes me upset when these bands break up. Stay together and tour for 50,000 years and get paid. Man, I wish I could sing. I ain't never breaking up. Yeah, everybody in the group get paid the same amount. We're going to go overseas. We're going to go Asia. We're going to go to Europe and just make money at these festivals. But these guys break up, man, and sample music without, and get sued. You will get caught. I'm telling you. You will get caught for sampling people's music. And it can be just a little snippet. And whatever the jury say, you got to pay it. So, yeah, that song was, it blew up, though. That was a great song, but $8.7 million, a lot of money.
Okay, so news coming out of the NBA.
We are a radio station, so it's relevant.
According to sources from ESPN, Zach Lowe and Ramona Shelbourne were the story last night at ESPN. The NBA and National Basketball Players Association are planning to paint, quote, Black Lives Matter, end quote, on the court inside both sidelines in all three arenas the league will use at the Walt Disney World Resort when it resumes the 2019-20 season late next month in Orlando, Florida. League sources told ESPN. The WNBA is also discussing painting Black Lives Matter on the court when it begins its abbreviated 2020 season at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, sources said. Sources also said some WNBA players suggested in talks with league higher-ups that players warm up shirts with Say Her Name in quotations on them in an attempt to keep attention on female victims of police brutality, including Breonna Taylor, who was shot and killed by police in March in her home in Louisville, Kentucky.
I think they can also put a social justice thing on their jersey, too. They're looking at it because I know the WNBA, which we don't talk about, they're going to start at the end of this July, too, I think. They get a chance to do the same thing.
So
now you will circle back with your boy, Steve, play for the Brooklyn Nets.
DeAndre Jordan?
No. The guard, the little guard, be with LeBron James.
Oh, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving. You can circle back. Says that enough? Because they said they didn't want to, you know what I'm saying? We'll lose focus if we play.
Adam Silver said today that the league is still working through what he calls, quote, an intriguing idea, end quote, about putting names on jerseys. Mm-hmm. It isn't a done deal yet.
Yeah, just discussion.
So now what that intriguing idea is, I have no idea, but we shall wait and see. But the idea of having the Black Lives Matter on the courts that you will see on national television from all three arenas down there in Walt Disney World, the Wide World of Sports complex. The question is this, do you like the Black Lives Matter slogan on the NBA courts? If not, what would you have done if you were the NBA instead? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. What say you, Gary Ellerson?
Yeah, I think, although I understand the premises of it and what they're trying to do, I think we could do more than just putting some paint down. I think we can do more than that. I don't like the look, obviously, the way it's going to look. I like for us to create awareness and put our money behind it and create some sort of players' coalition where when they go into the cities that they visit, they speak with the police officers, and in that route, they try to make a difference that way. Putting some paint on the court just doesn't do it for me. I think it needs to be, obviously you can see that, right? They want everybody to see it, right? But it doesn't solve the problem, right? They need to get down deep into the grassroots of it all to try to create some sort of peace within our America today. And I don't know if that creates peace in our America today. I think that divides us more than it brings us together by painting Black Lives Matter on the court. People need to be educated. And that's not educating the people. I mean, like, I have people on my Facebook page who constantly, when I say Black Lives Matter, they put All Lives Matter. Those are the people that needs to be educated on why. And it's not just on my Facebook page, it's everywhere. I see that. And we need to put forth our resources in trying to educate those people. In order for this movement to move forward, it's got to be more than just paint. It's got to be more than just stickers on my shirt. It's got to be more than just sand on my shoes. We're going to have to put some sweat equity within this to make this happen. My Badger brothers and I right now, we're forming a committee. I think it's going to be called ARC. And it's going to be a bunch of former Badger football players. We're now forming a committee. It's just in early stages of where we're going to be doing exactly that. Is trying to create awareness and really giving our time back to not just black folks, but white folks in educating people on how we can be better, how we can better understand one another.
So I want to go back to what you said you're doing. So what will we see then once this group is formed and going forward?
Well, we just had our first meeting on Zoom last week. And so we're still trying to, figure it out, get the basis of it. We're still trying to rally a lot of people behind us, a lot of former players. We're trying to get Barry Alvarez involved in what we're doing. We're trying to get involved in what we're doing. So we just had our first meeting about a couple of weeks ago. So we're still in the early stages of how we can just reach out to people in needs and education. And I think that's where we're trying to get going right now. So I'll have more information as we move forward on how we're going to do this and how we're going to proceed.
That's great.
But I think it's going to be a great thing. And so we're playing a lot of guys. I mean, Terrence Sala, I mean, we've got a lot of guys that are all former Badgers, are all involved in this, and we're going to try to, just try to do something within our community.
Okay, we'll come back.
It's going to be all over the United States, not just going to be in Wisconsin, because a lot of these guys, they're from all over, and they live all over. So it's going to be wide-ranging.
All right, coming up next, we'll hear from Leroy Butler, and I'll tell you my thoughts on it as well. Do you like the words Black Lives Matter on NBA courts for the remainder of the season on the courts in Orlando, like many people are reporting is about to occur? Are you for it? If you're not, what would you prefer to see them do? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan. Winnie's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Carrie Ellerson, Leroy Butler. On Twitter, some responses coming in. Jay Cardin. Tweeted at The Fan at @JACARDIN, Jay Cardin, said, shameful display by Sparky Radio and the at Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 The Fan to shamelessly try to bait people into race-related arguments any chance they get. Should the Packers fly a Black Lives Matter flag at Lambeau last week and today, do you agree with the Black Lives Matter being painted on NBA courts, SMH? To me, that sounds like a person that wants nothing to do with that conversation.
Right, and that's the problem.
Yes.
So that's the problem. That's why I'm saying there's other things that we can do as resources, those people that we need to educate. And what folks also don't understand, because I get this on my Facebook too, Steve, is that it is sports. We live in a new day and time right now where you're thinking that this is not going to cross over into sports, and it does. We are talking sports. We're talking what you're going to potentially see on your television and call in to say whether you like it or not. Or maybe you won't watch the NBA because of it. And if you don't watch the NBA because of it, Athletes Raising Change, and that's what ARC will stand for, is what we need to try to get you aware of really what's going on and how you can help with the change. And how you can see it better than what you do. Now, you can't change everybody. Some people ain't going to see it. And I get that. So these are the people that we want to be in contact with, right? These are the people that we want to sit down with. They can paint all they want to them. But these are the people that you're going to have call in. And some of these folks, you ain't going to change. They are what they are.
Well, here's another one. This is Costa. His profile says he's a U.S. Marine Corps war veteran, former neurologist. He tweets, why don't they get out in the community and help the kids that are killing each other? Give me the names of the 8 kids under 12 who were killed in Chicago in the last 2 weeks. They're black. Yeah. How come their lives don't matter? not killed by cops, but other black kids. Enough with talk and painting basketball courts or words on uniforms. Yeah. Get in the neighborhoods and do something. Talk is cheap and easy. Over 100 blacks shot in Chicago in 2 weeks, shot by other black kids, not by cops. I guess their deaths don't fit the narrative. Phonies.
No, it does.
He tweets.
It does. It does fit the narrative, and that's part of the oppression that we are up against. And that's what's in our neighborhood. And not that it's caused by the police, but it's a socioeconomic that's why it's there. It's because of all the oppression that we have sustained for over 400 years. That's what the change is all about. Yeah, we're killing each other, but this is how it started. Yeah, right. We don't value our lives, and no one else does either. I mean, it's almost like, Steve, if you were raised in a household, maybe let's say with alcoholics, or you had an abusive father, most likely you will have some of those traits when you get married.
Correct.
100.
And so that has happened to you for over a period of years. It becomes learned behavior for black people. Being oppressed for over 400 years has become learned behavior. And such, that's why this is happening in our society. And people love to throw that in our face or throw this up because they don't understand. They don't understand how it started. They don't understand that you were brought over here on a boat and half your ancestors were beat to death and half of them didn't make it. And then they were chained up. And then when they said they were going to give you 40 acres of mule, that you didn't get it. And then when you went off to fight in the war with the GI Bill, they said you were going to get a GI Bill and you got nothing. But the white people did. That's what all this is. What it all comes back to. And now I'm talking, this is not sports now because I'm talking about somebody else, but this is why those things have taken place in the black community. It's part of, not all, but part of the reason why we don't value our own lives.
That
makes sense to you.
That Costa guy just sent another tweet. Remember, I told you he was a neurosurgeon. Said, I spent 20 years in an inner city neighborhood in Chicago as a pediatric neurosurgeon trying to put these broken kids back together. Mm-hmm. That's the real crime. None killed by cops, killed by black teens. So sad I couldn't take seeing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Well, I just told you why it happened.
Right, I know. I couldn't even imagine doing that for a living. Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, pass.
I just told you why it happened.
Yep. Detroit, Darren in Port Washington, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, guys. Hey. I agree with Gary. Gary, that was a great analogy that you just placed on that about learned behavior. I grew up in all white, and it's learned behavior from our fathers, grandfathers, that people were lesser than others. And we got to get rid of that. And that starts with Black Lives Matter, educating the youth. And
100.
I mean, when you're growing up, who do you look forward to the most or look up to the most, your father, your grandfather? You believe what they say. And we got to forget that mentality and move forward. And to do that, we got to raise awareness and educate the youth. That's all I got.
That's the thing. Like he just said, like, okay, you look up to your dad or your granddad. Well, if they're on the wrong side of this deal and that's what you get taught, then that's the most disheartening thing of the whole thing, because really the adults in these families have been the ones putting in the kids' minds of how life is, and then they just grow up believing the same thing as their dad or granddad or mom or grandma or whatever the case may be. And the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So, like, for example, like in my family, it's a ways back, but one of my great uncles were drowned by a police officer. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
But that's not in a lot of people's family. I'm most certainly not. I mean, does it have? Are cops bad to white people too? Yes. Not saying that doesn't happen. Yeah, they are. But proportionately, because of the population, more so to African Americans than white people. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
So back to the question that you asked me, Stevie.
The question was, do you like the Black Lives Matter slogan on NBA courts? We still have to get to Leroy as well.
Yeah, because I don't want to hear from these other people that you were just, not that phone caller we just had, but those are the people that we need to reach, quite honestly. Those are the people that need to be educated. But like I said, you're not going to change everybody. It for me, it needs to be more than just paint on the floor.
Yeah. Okay, Leroy.
You want to go to a break?
Sure. We can go to a break. We'll come back.
And then we'll come back.
Get
to Leroy.
More from Leroy Butler. Stay tuned. We're back.
Miss should be upset.
We'll be back in 60 seconds.